everyone. We've added this note to the beginning of all of our original episodes of the podcast to let you know of a few changes that have happened around here and hopefully avoid any confusion for you as listeners. When we began this podcast, it was called Starseed Survival Guide, and most people called me, your host, by my birth name, Erin. Throughout the first 22 episodes, you'll hear me introduce myself as Erin, hear others refer to me as Erin, and hear many references to the name of the show being Starseed Survival Guide. In 2018, more and more folks began calling us Yaya, and in March of 2020, we changed the name of this podcast to Earthside Survival Guide to more accurately reflect our intentions for the show. For a little more of the full story of what these changes mean to us, please check out episode 23, a temple talk where we reflect on where we've been, where we are now, and where we're going. We thank you for your patience during this transition, for listening and sharing this journey with us, and most importantly, for allowing us to continue to grow and evolve. Blessings.
And as I call in the east, I walk into the stream. And as I call in the south, I bring water to my mouth. And as I call in the west, the creek swallows my chest. And as I call in the north, I am swallowed by her source.
Greetings, Starseeds, and welcome to the Starseed Survival Guide podcast. I'll be your host, Erin Rivera Merriman, and I'm honored to facilitate a place for us to virtually gather to be seated, activated and germinated by the infinite well of galactic and terrestrial wisdom that is available to all in every moment. Thank you for hearing the call, for remembering that there is so very much more to life and showing up to explore the secret, esoteric, mystical, and unorthodox pathways to liberation that are and forever will be open to you and all who seek them with sincerity. We welcome and hail to the guardians and the gatekeepers who dwell eternally in the liminal realms. We humbly beseech your assistance today in opening these portals between the dimensions so that those who have tuned in with this transmission may find themselves able to listen from a deeper place and receive the hybrid medicine and restructuring that the helper spirits who called this broadcast into being so generously provide. May you as sacred listeners hear what you need to hear and discard anything that is not of value to your own stated intentions for your life and the fulfillment of your soul's purpose in the most enjoyable, most beautiful possible way. Starseed Survival Guide is a listener-supported program, and we hope that if you find value in the experience we share here today, that you might consider offering support by visiting us online at www.activeculturefamily.com and making a purchase or donation. Many blessings to you on your journey, and we hope you enjoy the show.
Hello everyone, it's me Erin, and today's Temple Talk is an archetypal activation, an invitation to deepen and expand our relationship to the frequencies of Libra, Temperance, and Tantra. If you have an existing relationship to relaxing herbs such as cannabis, kava, damiana, rose, or chamomile, I invite you to press pause before beginning and take a moment to invite your plant allies to join us now via your favorite delivery system. And although you're welcome to listen to this transmission in any way that you choose, there is an invitation to engage the content as a self-care ritual and create a sacred space for yourself where you'll not be interrupted, you can close your eyes and avail yourself to the full potential of listening with your whole being. We can start by taking a nice, full, intentional breath together and letting it out with some sound. Allowing whatever sound that wants to come out to be perfect just as it is. So when I first began doing intuitive readings, I called the service an archetypal activation because all manner of recognizable patterns of conscious energies would step forward to be named and acknowledged as guides in the space of the sessions. And once a person had a vocabulary for these forces in their life, it was as if those energies were activated and empowered to interact with them more freely as the spirit guides that they are. Learning to recognize these energies and work with them as a service to others is a process we teach at Bridge Temple, one we refer to as mapping the void. This is a major aspect of our work that at this point has resulted in piles and piles of notes on what we call archetypal overlays or energetic correlations. These notes map the relationship between, for example, the goddess Kali, the flower Datura, and the animals octopus and spider. And over the last year, these energies have begun to organize themselves into an oracle deck and ask to be spoken of more. I've called these studies overlays or correlations or associations or similarities for years, but have recently realized that this language kind of misses the point of the significance of the information and can actually prevent us from truly grokking the meaning of these similarities and what they're attempting to communicate to us about the nature of reality. So, as another example, we can look at elderflower and boulder opal. Both represent an energy of spontaneous, gentle bubbling or welling up of childlike sweetness from within. In the third dimension, one is a mineral and the other is a plant, but in the fourth dimension, they share the same mission, soul purpose, or dharma, and in the fifth dimension, they are the same consciousness, the same multidimensional artist expressing their teachings through various mediums. So, of course, these same energies also express through the animal kingdom of which humans are a part. So what it means to find your medicine, or find your plant ally, or discover your animal totem, sometimes called a power animal, is that you have found a plant or animal or mineral that is just another expression of the same energy that you exist as, a third dimensional manifestation of. This is also why the feelings of anguish that some creatives feel around being, quote, copied is so problematic. There is a certain level on which duality and individuality do exist. This is called the third dimension, or reality. The more esoteric side of Buddhism that moves beyond teaching about the breath and the present moment and into the mapping of the mechanics of karma and rebirth tells us that we often choose embodiment out of reactivity and the desire to mediate the intensity of being naked without the boundary of a body and the perceived layer of protection that our personality or ego provides. Just naked consciousness dwelling in the vastness and immediacy of the spirit world. So, through the lens of multidimensional Buddhism, the third dimension of consensual reality is chosen by many not as a playground, not for creative reasons or for educational purposes or gaining the wisdom of embodied experience, any of these other like really wonderful reasons for choosing to be in a body. But rather, for many, it's a reactive choice to escape our feelings of overwhelm as the only place in the universe, really, where we're allowed to rest in the sanctuary of our ego and soothe ourselves with the illusion of separateness. So, in the fourth, fifth, and beyond dimensions, those distinctions start to break down. Often we wonder how it could be that there's someone that made the same design as us, or wrote about the same concept and posted it on the same day. But in reality, their existence is only proof that although we are two different people in the third dimension, we may be part of the same team or soul group or soul family, charged with the same mission in the fourth dimension, and in the fifth dimension may in fact be the same person. This is the meaning of the Mayan phrase or law, in lakech alakin, which means, I am you and you are me. And forgive my pronunciation, any of you who, that is your mother tongue, it is not mine. So, anyway, let's take a moment to rest in the implications of the multidimensional love energy that is coded into this teaching. What could it mean for us to consider that this is true? That you are just another me, and I am just another you? This energy, this frequency that exists to evolve the consciousness of our hearts and the quality of our speech and actions towards one another in all our relations, is always available, but is extra strong right now as we experience the full moon in Libra, and in any astrological circumstance that allows for more unfiltered exposure to Libra consciousness. The understanding that we are one is where the natural sense of fairness and justice that Libra possesses comes from. Libras hold this truth deep in their being, and as healthy adults are not especially capable of overriding it to conform to unjust systems. We often hear that Libra is about balance. My teacher Susan Weed, who is the voice of the wise woman tradition of herbal medicine, reminds us regularly, balance is the state immediately preceding death. The Dene tells, clarity equals death, that life can be defined as the dynamic disequilibrium characterized by our navigation of chaos and our quest for balance. My son is a Libra, and when we ask him, what is your favorite thing about today? He says, everything. And when we ask him, who is your favorite person to play with at recess? He says, everyone. And he really means it. Libras embody fairness and equality, and as such make wonderful ambassadors and teachers of human rights. Libras have a natural inborn sense of justice, an energy that is much needed in these times, that can assist them in both becoming gifted lawyers and mediators that can help us bridge our differences. Libras have a natural inborn sense of justice, an energy that is much needed at this time that can assist them in becoming gifted lawyers and mediators that will help us bridge our differences and heal all our relations. There is also something naturally tantric about Libra wisdom, where their mere presence can bring a harmonizing, integrating frequency as they role model an unconditional acceptance of reality and invite us to question the usefulness of certain dualistic perceptions or judgments of others. Libras weave together paradox in a rather casual, unselfconscious, and refreshing way. So yes, Libra is about balance, and I would say that Libra is also about the related but slightly different energy of temperance, the process of repeatedly exposing something to extremes until it either breaks or becomes capable of enduring said extremes without being destroyed by them. Temperance is the result of the dynamic quest to resolve illusions of opposites, separateness, and otherness that invites us to vacillate between extremes as often as we need to in order to remember why moderation matters. Temperance is a patient teacher who favors role reversal as a method and shows up whenever we stray too far in any one direction and begin to crystallize our concepts of right and wrong, which eventually leads to rigidity, judgment, blame, violence, and war. Libran consciousness is the energy found at the center of all intersectional movements, non-dual traditions, and healthy relationships. It embraces complexity and dynamism, variety, strength in numbers, biodiversity, unity, and harmony. In our experience, Libra is more about temperance than equilibrium, more about strength, flexibility, and the dynamic quest for balance rather than the state of balance. And to deeply understand temperance is to deeply understand Tantra and the true non-dual nature of primordial reality. What is meant when they say that in the unity of opposites, we come to know the source of all opposites, a nurturing benevolence often languaged as female or motherly, but ultimately beyond gender. So now, at the time of the original release of this recording, and any time we enter a Libra moon portal, or simply feel the need to deepen our understanding of Libra energy, we invite you to try sitting with the teaching that I am another you, and you are another me, and see if you can be vulnerable enough to feel all the feelings that this may bring up for you, especially when faced with any decision or conflict that may be arising in your life, and see if you can access the empathy to see both sides of the story. When tempted to judge something that as right or wrong, we can instead contemplate the possibility that the truth may be that it's both and neither at the same time, and that all of our relationships are attempting to point us back to tending our relationship with ourself. In short, now is a really good time to stop projecting all of our unprocessed material onto the other people around us and questing things from others around us in order to meet our needs, and really recommit to tending our own gardens, recommit to self-love and practicing nourishing self-care. I'd like to end today with a poem that addresses that even our spirituality and language, such as high vibe versus low vibe, can sometimes be just a clever adaptation of our ego that tricks us into allowing it to steer our spirit away from the heart, away from love, and back onto the battlefield of duality. This poem is called, alternately, The Vibrational Caste System, or Ode to Temperance. Spirit does not subscribe to the hierarchy of vibe. From the eagle to the mole, we all have our role, and often the ones we're content to ignore, like the mycelial weavers of the forest floor, that mostly we just don't even see, do the greatest service to humanity. No, spirit does not subscribe to this hierarchy of vibe. She takes us high and takes us low. She'll take us anywhere we need to go, to feel what we must feel in order to truly learn, to come to respect fire. Sometimes we must first get burned. We cannot force another to know what we know. We need our own direct experiences in order to grow, to authentically choose moderation. We often first need to go to extremes in quest of healing wisdom and the skill to live our dreams. In closing, I'd like to offer a prayer for your being. So now it's a perfect time to exit if you're quite certain that that's not really your thing, or that you have enough on your plate and are not currently resourced enough to take a brief journey into the realms of healing. For those staying with us, we invite you to close your eyes if it feels safe to do so. Maybe even lie down on your back with your palms open in a gesture of receptivity and allowing your breath to deepen. Tuning in with your inner realm, so supported by the strength of the bones within, so held and protected by the boundary of the skin, allowing the breath to deepen for anything that may feel heavy and tight, any areas we have been holding on, any areas where we've been unable to let go or forgive. Just breathing with them, and allowing them to soften in the field of your presence, feeling our hearts and our auric fields loosen their weave just enough to allow it all to melt back into the tapestry of everything, waving goodbye and thanking these beliefs and experiences for bringing their perspective to the table to be considered, allowing our highest wisdom to determine what we will be carrying forward, allowing for openness, for innocence, for the minor or major reweaving of our being that we've called forth in this moment to occur with ease, allowing ourselves to hear quiet voice of the heart, our heart's song, our heart's desire, our most cherished need and wish and intention for our life to arise, float up to our consciousness without any effort, without thinking, just allowing the quiet voice of our spirit to be heard. What is it we're most needing at this time? And allowing yourself to remain in this position as your own best intimate companion, priestess, teacher, space holder, and guide for as long as you can. Getting up slowly and gently only when you're truly ready to do so. Many thanks to each of you. Blessings on your journey. Aho namaste, blessed be Jai Ma. May it be finished in beauty. We're here.